You know, worship will drive out worry, tiredness, defeatedness, depression. Worship is one of your greatest weapons to have and use. Worship is not just a song. Y'all know I'm not preaching on this. Well, worship is not just a song. It's the way you live. You need to live out your worship. Not simple. You know, Pastor taught me a long time ago. Pastor Mays taught me a long time what I'm doing. He'd walk around and you know what? All the time I'm singing. He said, I'm just constantly praising the Lord no matter what I'm doing. He'd walk around and he would walk around this church all the time and he'd look what the Lord has done. He would say, and you know what happens? If you hang around goofy, you get goofy, but if you hang around spiritual, you get spiritual. And so I started hanging around a real spiritual man. An anointed man, a holy man, a man of God, a human man, but a man that chased God with all his heart. And you know what I learned? It's a good marathon. It's a good race to be in. I want to chase God with every being, every second I've got, I want to follow the Lord. Because he's taking me somewhere better than I could take myself. But all day long, that's what I do now. I worship God. Even when the bills come in, I worship God. Even when the phone call comes or something not good, I still worship God. Even when somebody cuts me off in traffic, I still worship God. And you know what happens? Man, I just don't matter no more. We were talking about this yesterday, Brother Trey and I back here, and we were in the back talking, and Brother George was with us, and we were talking about, you know, how people like to try to steal your joy is basically what it was. People like to cut you off and do things that make you mad and so on and so forth. Dennis used to always tell me, you remember this, buddy? I'm never going to let anybody take my joy. He used to say that to me nonstop. Every time I'd say, Dennis, how you doing? I'm doing good. Ain't nobody going to steal my joy. You know, that's what it has to happen. Somebody's got to steal it from you because it's yours to have. You just got to choose to operate in it. So here's what I want y'all to do. I want y'all to worship all day long. You wake up, get in the shower. Man, I don't care. Pick your favorite song that you got. If it's Run to the Father, Run to the Father. If it's Amazing Grace, it's Amazing Grace. But then you live it out. You know what? I live it out because you think of him first. The Bible says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I want you to know, I want you to have all those things. I want you to live abundant life because that's what Jesus said he came for you to have life and have life more abundantly. How many of you want an abundant life? I think you've come to the right place today then. If you got your Bibles with you, let's flip open our base scripture. The main scripture we're going to talk about today comes out of Mark. Can y'all hear me okay? I'm not fired up yet. Can you tell? That's all right. That's all right. Y'all still with me? Say amen if you're awake.
Amen.
Okay, all right. Y'all awake. All right, good. Well, let's go into Mark. Mark chapter 10. Verse 27, Mark chapter 10, verse 27. And I'm going to title today's message. I put this on Facebook yesterday. I'm ready. I'm getting tired of Facebook. I'm going to be honest with you. I think I might delete it for a little while and just get off that thing. So y'all, when I put out a call, y'all share and invite other people to come if you're on there to come, all right? But I put something on there. The title of today's message, It Can Happen For You. How many of you, I want to see a show of hands. How many of you believe it can happen for you? Here, I want you to repeat after me. It can happen for me. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. The Bible tells us here in Mark 10, 27, here's what it reads. And this is Jesus. Now, I told you all the time, read the Bible, study the Bible. But when you get into the red letters, well, there's a song by Crowder that said the red letters song. I love that song. When you get into red letters, you need to pay extra close attention. This is Jesus talking to you. So I'm telling you, it's all important, but when it's in red, buddy, my ears perk up because I know there's got to be something in there for me because Jesus said it, and he didn't say a whole lot of words. If you look through here, the red letters, you're going to find there's a lot less red letters than there are black letters. So when Jesus says it and it's recorded, you bet it is for you to hold on to now. Here's what he says. But Jesus looked at them and said, and let me back up a little bit. What's happened here is that Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Nobody answered him. They all kind of looked at Jesus like, what are you talking about? That's what it says. It said that they looked astonished right there. If you back up at verse 23, here's what it said. And so Jesus says to them again, here's what he said. He said, children, how hard is it for those who trust? Oh, mercy. Y'all hear this? Everybody say trust with me.
Trust.
So here's what he said. He said, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? You know, all my life I heard that money is evil. I've heard that living a prosperous life is evil. That's when I grew up. Matter of fact, it was almost a sign of you being unholy. So if you were doing well, you obviously must be cheating somebody, doing something wrong, because God is not a God that wants to see you prosper in things. And that's how I was taught. And so when what happens is you get a mentality built up with that, and when you start seeing other people get blessed, you start scrutinizing and judging them for what they are. And so what Jesus is telling them, he said, the riches, but it's not about how much riches they had, it's where their trust was in. That's what he clarified that second time. He said, right there, he said, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And I want you to understand the eye of the needle at that time was not like a needle thread. It was actually a passageway. And there was a passageway. It was very, very narrow, extremely narrow, and not wide enough. You ever been to like the caverns and the caves and you got to go walk sideways? That's what they were talking about. And a camel was just too wide for it to fit through there. And Jesus is telling them, saying, look, it's harder for a camel to pass through in there than for a person who puts their trust in the riches and the things of this world to enter into heaven. Somebody better say amen. Amen. You know what that means? That means that it's not your wealth that matters, it's where your trust is that matters. Now, when you've got that kind of trust in God, now that's where this is going here. So here's what Jesus says to them. After he explains that to them, it tells them, right? He tells his disciples. Now, here's what he says. Because they look at him and say, well, this is crazy. So who can be saved? They didn't get it. Praise God. I'm ignorant sometimes. I'm just going to be honest. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I miss it sometimes. Stop, brother. And... but you know what? Praise God, it doesn't matter, because God loves me enough that he will clarify things for me. And even if I don't get it, his word and his law still is the same. Whether I understand it or not, it still happens. So here's the disciples, and they said, well, who could be saved? And here's what he says. He says, looked at them, Jesus, 27, said, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all, y'all say all things are possible. Now, you need to underline that in your Bible. If you don't, the word all. Because what we want to say is that things are possible for others. Things are possible to happen over here. But I'm here to tell you right now that it can happen for you. Your impossibility is possible. I want you to know that your time is now. Your miracle is coming. Your breakthrough is on the way. Your favor is already on you. You just need to know it. You need to understand exactly what it can happen and when it can happen, because what happens is there's a supernatural increase for those who believe, those who put their trust in God. Now, you understand what I'm saying here. You put your trust in God, a supernatural increase will come to you, not just in your finances, but in everything, I want you to understand. Everything will be supernaturally increased to where it doesn't make sense on paper, but it makes sense to the kingdom of God. I've been there. I didn't understand how it was going to work out. How is this going to happen? And I don't see it. And I'm studying and I'm asking and I'm looking. And how many of you have ever done a budget? Yeah, show me your hands. How many? If not, well, we need to hold a budget class. We need some people to know how to budget. You need to budget your household. Praise God, my wife is great. She budgets every single day, my wife does. And then she sends me a screenshot of it because, you know, she's got to keep me in check. I mean, it's... praise God for a helpmate that was comparable that God created for me. But we got a budget. How many of you ever looked at the end of your budget and then there was not enough money for the amount of bills you had? Now, if you haven't been there, I'm going to pray you never do, but most people get there. And you don't know how you're going to do it, but somehow, supernaturally, something happens. Somebody walks up and gives you what a Pentecostal handshake is, you know? Somebody walks up and gives you a Pentecostal handshake, got $100 in it. Well, my goodness, thank you, Lord. Or maybe you get a check. We had this happen one time. And I'm going to take a rabbit trail. Can I take a rabbit trail? We had first started coming to church here, and we had a guest speaker come in by the name of David Husky. Y'all remember David Husky from years back? David Husky used to come in here, and he preached on a topic called offenses. Don't be stuck in the fences. And so he's back there, and I'm green, I'm young to all this, and he had a little table set back up there where Robbie was at, and he was selling stuff, and man, we didn't have two pennies to rub together, but we came in, and I was all on fire, and I went back there. Now, y'all don't write him and tell him what I'm about to tell y'all, okay? Yeah. No, I know you do. Jacob, stop that. He came in, had these CDs and tapes and everything set out there, and he was selling them, and you know, just donation, whatever. So I went back there, and I said, well, man, I'd like to have some of these now. I was a sponge. How many of you need to be a sponge? Man, I wanted to soak up everything I could get of God. I still do. And so I went back there, and I said, man, I want this, 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 and this, and this. And my wife went, opened it up, and Malls came out the purse. And we said, well, we ain't got no money. So I said, well, here's what we're going to do. We can write a check. Don't look at me like I'm the only one here that wrote a check knowing there ain't no money in the account. Yeah, look at y'all. So I wrote that check. We said, all right, we'll write the check. And I went up to David, and I said, now, brother, now listen. Now, it's $48 is what it was. I said, we ain't got $48 in the account. Now, I'm going to write this check, and just like remember the old Popeye, I'll be happy to pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. I went up to him, I said, now, I'm going to be happy to write you this check that you can't cash until next week, but I want to take the stuff with me today. Oh, brother, that's no problem. No big deal at all. I said, you sure? Yep, all right. I even post-dated the check, because I was like, oh, the bank going to catch it, right? He leaves, I take my stuff, and now isn't it ironic that the topic was being offended? Not being offended was his subject. Because what happened was, is come Monday, David Husky deposited my check into the account. And the bank didn't care what the date was on it. They went ahead and cleared it. And buddy, it started a domino effect in our account. And I started seeing these, am I telling the truth, honey? I started seeing these NSF fees start rolling through our account, and I'm listening, and I'm more listening out of anger. I got his CDs in the car, and I'm listening to him tell me not to be offended. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to tear you apart when I get a hold of you. I'm thinking myself, how in the world are you going to tell me you ain't going to do something? You man of God, and you doing all that. Man, I was fired up. I got back to, I sat down in the office, and I started looking up his address. I was Google mapping, how far is it for me to drive over there? I'm gonna handle this. And man, I'll get my pen out. I wanted to write letters. I was tore up mad. I was so mad, folks, that I want you to know every day I thought about it as I drove to work in the morning. Angry. Get to work, get in the car, and it left me at work. But when I got back in the car, I got angry again. Probably because the CD was in my CD player, and I'm listening to How Not to Be Offended. And so I drive all the way, and I'm mad, and I'm, get here. I get home, and then I get busy when I get home. Now, folks, this goes on for a week. Now, meanwhile, our bank account had taken a hard hit because it wasn't just one thing. It was several others that started getting NSS. Well, Ash and I were thinking, okay, we're going to have ramen noodles for the next 2 weeks, I guess, is what we're going to eat. My normal routine was, I worked in Smyrna, and we lived up here. I'd drive back. My normal routine was every day when I got home, I checked the mail. It was my thing. I checked the mail, brought the mail in. Ashley would sort it through, and we'd go through it. And I was so mad during this time, I never checked the mail. The whole week long, I was so angry and so bitter, I never checked the mail. Finally, I'm listening to one of those CDs that David Husky had given me about offenses. And I remember thinking, and I don't know exactly what happened. I can't remember the exact words. But I remember this thought, that if Jesus could forgive me after all that I've done, surely I can forgive this man who just accidentally deposited a check. And I thought to myself, now, if I could just forgive him, now I'm letting that go, and I'm going to put my trust back in God. Not in our circumstances, not in our checkbook, not in what our resources were, but in God. So that day, on the way home, I remember thinking that. I get to the house, I open up the mailbox, get the letters out of there. Ashley and I had a membership to a gym that was in Bowling Green, Kentucky from probably a year and a half before, something like that. It was a long time before we had actually moved into Tennessee. We were more fit. No, that's not true. We just paid for a gym membership back then. And that's right. We had a membership, and it was a contract. And so when we had moved, I broke the contract. Well, the guy, the place said, there's nothing you can do about it. Sorry, so on and so forth. So they kept taking out money. I want you to know something. There was a check in our mailbox that covered the check that I wrote and all the NSF fees that we had. Took our account right back to zero. But here's the kicker, folks. I looked at the date stamp on the check, and it had been in my mailbox since Monday. The same Monday that he deposited the check was the same Monday that I received the means to cover the need. But because I didn't have my trust in God, I had my trust in what I saw, I missed the blessing that was already provided for me. So here's what I want you to know. Don't put your trust in your riches. Put your trust in God, and God will give you a supernatural increase. And you know what? You won't miss it. Ooh, that was for somebody here today. I want you to understand. I want to look at a story in the Bible. Let's flip into Genesis. We're going all the way back to the very beginning, not to the beginning of time, but to the beginning of the Bible here. Genesis chapter 26. It's a really good story in here, and I'm going to catch you up to speed just a little bit with this. But in Genesis chapter 26, you got Isaac. And Isaac, you know, everybody know who Isaac is, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So is it warm in here? Is it me? It was cold outside, though. Thank you, sir. I don't mind if I take my coat off, do you? So here it is, Isaac. And there's a famine in the land. We're going to Genesis chapter 26 is where we're at. And the very first verse said, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Palestinians in Gerar. But I want you to understand, this is a famine. And in today's setting, it would be a depression. Okay. So back then, you know, agriculture was the main means of everything. So food, livestock, that's how wealth was created. It's how it was measured and so on and so forth was through all that. And so when a famine hit, guess what? There's no food to eat. And if there's no food to eat, then what happens to all the animals that eat the food? They die off too. So it's basically a catastrophic event that's happening right now. And here is Isaac in here. And there's a famine in. And I want to go down to verse 12. And I'm going to read verse 12 through 14. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Y'all want to learn something today?
Yep.
This is what it says. Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land. And remember, it's a famine. Okay. Scarcity. Right. He's got no money in his checking account either. Right. He's got very, very little. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Everybody say blessed.
Blessed.
Now say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Because you're a descendant from Abraham. Say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Therefore,
I am
eligible
for all
God's promises.
God's promise.
And God's promise is for you. Now listen, it's for you and for me. If it's in the Bible, it's yes and amen. That means it's said, it's done, it's settled. Oh, that's such good news. Because I know a lot of people who say one thing but mean another. Don't get me started on that. All right, back here. Verse 13. The man, talking about Isaac, the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. So here is Isaac. First thing I want you to understand that when God is involved and God blesses you, it breaks all the rules. See, the rules in that time was in a famine, you don't sow. In famine, how many of you have ever heard when it comes time to when things are tight, you need to get tight? How many of you ever heard that?
Yeah.
I'm gonna break all of that. That is wrong thinking. Do you know how rich people get rich? They take advantage when things go down. The rich get richer. I'm going to tell you, if I had extra money sitting around, the stock market crashed out, well, I'd be buying stock up. Well, why? Because I'm not selling stock today. I'm buying it low so I can keep it when it gets high. You know why? Because my trust is not in the stock market. My trust is in my provider. And this is what people don't understand, is that sometimes what we do is we let the circumstances dictate our actions. But our actions need to be dictated by the Word of God. And so when we look and we say things are tight, I understand things are tight, but that doesn't mean you clam up. Now, you get smart about it. Don't throw your pearls to swines and don't go out and sow in bad soil. But I'm telling you right now that if you constrict, you're going to just get by, because God's law is sowing and reaping. And so if you will sow in his supernatural realm, you will reap a supernatural reward. And that's what Isaac did here. And I want you to understand, so when God's law is in it, when his blessing is in it, see, it just breaks everything. All common sense goes out the window. That's how you know it's God. See, we didn't expect that check to come in that mail. I didn't see that coming, not one bit. God's law broke that. His blessings broke that. What would normally have to say, well, I guess I'm going to have to go to one of them cash checking places and start one of them things or whatever else it did. Praise God, we didn't do that again. And I said again, we've been there, made them same mistakes. We have. That's when we put our trust in us, not in God. You know what we do now? We got something that we got to pay. We just believe. We believe God. Now, don't get me wrong. We knock. We seek. And we enter. Now, we ask, we knock, we seek. And then when the door opens, we go in it. But we look for God to have provision for us. So I want you to understand something, that when God's hand is on you, the economy doesn't dictate your outcome. You're looking in today's world right now, and they're talking about all these tariffs and all this other stuff, and they want to scare you. I even heard that Amazon now is going to put on their website how much more you're paying in tariffs for the prices, for the things that you're buying. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I agree with President Trump. I can live with less. I can. I'm good with it. I'd rather buy American-made, pay a little bit more for it, and own a little bit less, and support the people in my country and have no problem with it, because God will bless me. I'm not worried about it. Take the China stuff out. That's good with me. I don't need to order a toaster oven from Tokyo or whatever else. It, you know, I'll get Whirlpool made right here in Springfield or whatever. You know, we don't have to go anywhere else. I'm telling you right now. Don't let the media and other people scare you and get you into a frenzy of what you're going to do, because your trust shouldn't be in them. It should be in God. And if that's what we got to do to put our country back on track, throw them out there. Do the tariffs. Do whatever it takes. I'm tired of it. I got kids growing up in this country. You understand? My little daughter sits up here now, and we have sheltered her. There ain't no doubt about it. But you know why? Because what we've actually done is shown her what it ought to be like in America. What a household ought to be like with two loving parents in it that speak truth. That I don't spank her, but I do discipline her. Contrary to what y'all believe, I do. Stop, mama. No, stop. Stop. Y'all can't see that. Praise God. I'm so glad we don't have cameras up here. Yeah. All right. Shh. Let me preach. Shit, not in daddy's eyes. I mean, that's. But I'm going to tell you. But you know what she does? She's a rule follower. Now, that's just the truth. Now, she doesn't want to do anything that ain't right to do. I didn't have to punish her into that. You know what we had to tell her? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. God loves you. We love you. And I was telling somebody the other day, I think it was Carla I was telling to. You know, she was talking about how Michaela was. And I am bragging on my daughter. Y'all mind if I brag on my daughter? She's mine. I'm going to brag on her. I brag on y'all's daughters and sons too. But you know what? We were talking the other day and said, oh, you know, Michaela's just so well behaved and yada, yada, yada. And I told her, I said, I can't take credit for that. We did that. Y'all didn't get that. I said, we did that. You understand my daughter doesn't have a memory without y'all in it? She doesn't have a memory that does not have this church. She grew up, Cassidy over here, who's now our youth leader with our youth over here, praise God. Cassidy kept her in the nursery. What I'm trying to tell you is we don't care what the world does. We care what we do and what God tells us to do. And thank God, when all of us get together like that, we're raising generations to come that will stand up for what is right, say, no, that's wrong, I'm not going to do it, stand against the current and do it in love and do it in the right way. Amen? But listen, I want you to understand that God is no respecter of man. In Acts 10:34, Peter said, if he'll do it for one, he'll do it for another. He opened his mouth and he said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. What happened for Isaac will happen for you. That's what you need to understand. So if you start sowing, when they say don't listen to their fear. You keep doing what you need to do, and God is going to carry you through, right? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
If he healed the woman with the issue of blood, will he heal you?
Yes.
I'm sorry, will he heal you?
Yes.
If he raised Lazarus from the dead, will he resurrect your situation as dad?
Yes.
Now, I want you to understand, you got to get a hold of this. Now, if he broke down the doors for Paul and Silas at midnight, will he break the chains that are people to understand something? That addiction is one of the strongest chains the devil has put on people, especially in the generations that we have right now. But I want you to know something, that the God who tore down the doors of Paul and Silas will tear off the chains that the devil has wrapped around your neck.
Amen.
You don't have to live in poverty. That's a chain of poverty. There's a spirit of poverty that you don't have to be subject to. Yeah, I knew I wouldn't get much on that, because I'm telling you right now, you need to start speaking to that more. You don't want to live in lack, say, I don't want to live in lack. Well, how's that going to come? I don't know how it's going to come. Maybe it'll come because you get a job opportunity that doubles your salary. Huh? I'm telling you, don't be confined. Stop limiting God in your life. I was so sick of that when they said, well, I'm not qualified for this. And I'm not qualified for it either, but I'm still eligible for it. So are you. God wants to bless you. And I'm not just talking your finances. I was a miserable human being, but I have joy in my heart. Peace in my life. Oh, I can't tell you, love in my marriage. There are things that God will do that if you want to limit God, you will stay limited, not by God, but by yourself. What your belief is. And I want you to know something. It's available for you. It can happen for you. You just got to believe that it's for you. Now, here's what I want you to look here now. Verse 13, here's what it said. It said, the man began to prosper and continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. Y'all see something there? See, there's a steps to this blessing. See, we always want to get right to the end. We don't want to run the marathon, but we want to cross the finish line. I've never understood that. You want to win the battle, but you don't want to get in the ring. Oh, folks, I'm here to tell you, you got to start somewhere. And see, what Isaac did, he started somewhere. It didn't say how much he sowed, but obviously he didn't sow enough that he became overflowing. Then he started small enough, and then what happened was he started prospering off of what he was sowing, and then guess what? Then it continued to prosper. So it started small, it started growing, it kept continuing, and then finally, at the end of it, it was overflowing. We always want to despise the small things. We keep saying that we need it to happen right now. I need all of it right now. And that's not how it works with God. You know why? Because it just told you a minute ago that your trust shouldn't be in your riches. Your trust should be in God. And you know what happens? When I received that check that covered our finances out of that, my faith built. And all of a sudden, and then I started believing God for more. I remember a day. Y'all ever heard this story? I'm sure you have. But we wrote a check. We weren't sowing much, and I want to preface this. Now, folks, listen to me. Don't send me no letters about me preaching on money. I don't need your money. But I want to see you blessed. You understand something? I don't need your money. I don't need the church. Don't need it. We're paid off. Church is debt free. Did you understand that? So I'm not up here begging for money. I'm teaching you biblical principles here. That's all I want to teach you. Because what happens is I want to see you better than where you are now. And what happened was is we started out with that, but then I started trusting God. So where we were given $20 a week, we said, all right, if God will provide for us, we're going to honor God more. So we upped our tithing offering. And you know what? It kept going and kept going and kept going and kept going. And God kept showing up for us in our finances like this. And not just in our finances, but see, other things started coming together. Our home, where we didn't have any peace, got peace in it. Am I telling the truth, honey? It did. The love that we had, I've always loved my wife, but we didn't know how to have godly love. I think we have pretty good godly love now. She may tell, don't talk to her after church. But things started happening in our life that started growing like that. And so we were sowing and we were reaping, but I was reaping all the benefits. I was seeking God first in all these things. We were seeking God first as two became one and we were seeking this. Then God started moving in our lives and supernaturally started doing things that we just could not explain. To where, as Pastor Mays always said, he took us from the guttermost to the uttermost. And that's what I want for you when I'm talking about this, and I want you to see this with Isaac, is because the world and people around you, most of them don't want you to thrive. They don't want you to rise above, especially as a Christian. They want you to stay down here. They think that somehow humility and poverty go hand in hand. That's not right. Humility and desperation go hand in hand. That's not right. Humility and depression go hand in hand. That's not right. See, humility is an act, but where you're at is a status that God wants to take you to, an elevation that's higher than those around you because he wants to lift you up. Because when you get up there, people look up to God as they're looking through you. Yeah, y'all didn't get that. You didn't get that. See, after it keeps small and it still is building up like that, see, what happens is you start growing in that. And as you start growing in that, in Isaiah 43:19, here's what the Bible says. It said, God said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I want you to understand that God wants to do something new for you in your life. Amen. Well, this is the way it's been. Well, it's time to change it. I've always had it this way. Well, it's time for something new then. If you're going to do what was that? The definition of stupidity was doing the same thing over and over and again, but expecting a different result. Yeah. Well, here's what I want to tell you. That's the way it works with God too. If you think that you're going to get rich by not honoring God, that ain't going to happen. If you think that you're going to lose depression in your life by not serving God, that ain't going to happen. The devil's going to keep you right where he's got you. And what you finally got to do is say, I've had enough of being sick and tired. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you're going to start rising up. You're going to start talking differently. You ever met somebody like that before? Had enough of it? I've been there. I got tired of the devil beating me up constantly. And I stood up one day and I said, I had enough. You're not going to take my family. You're not going to take my peace. You're not going to take my joy. You're not going to take my finances. You're not going to have it, devil. In the name of Jesus, get your hands off of it. I started standing up and I started living different. I'm different today, and I've said this before. I'm different today, not because I am somehow better as a person. I'm better because Jesus Christ lives in me. Because the power of God flows through me. And through that Holy Spirit power, now I can be a different man than I used to be. Yeah. So can you. And what happens with that is called the law of attraction. Yeah. I'm telling you, be a negative person. Watch, see how many negative people you attract. They'll come out the woodwork. You won't even know where they're coming from. You be a person of positivity. Guess what you attract? Positivity. But when the negative one comes up to you, it's like, talk to the hand. Y'all remember that? Yeah, I know all y'all my age, you remember that, talk to the hand. You know, as a kid, you used to do that. You get your mouth popped, right? There. Tell your mama, talk to the hand. She talked to the hand, all right. Psh. You got to get sick and tired, folks. You got to start doing something different than what you've done before. And when that happens, things will start changing in your life. And listen, if you screw up, it's okay. Get back up again. It's not about how many times you get knocked down. It's about how many times you get back up after you get knocked down. I'm telling you, man, I've been knocked down a lot. I get knocked down almost every week. But you know what? I got knees of springs. So when I get down, I want to pop right back up. I get hit again, I want to pop right back up. You're not going to keep me down. You know that old song, you can't keep a good man down? Good woman down. I knew somebody would correct me on that. I knew that. You couldn't keep a good woman down. Well, I'm telling you right now, you can't keep a good child of God down. So if you will get in that in your head, that you are next, that it is coming for you, that it can happen for you, it is on your way for you, then you can get up out of the mully grubs that you've been in, you can get up out of that gutter, and you can start standing tall knowing that God is about to do something for you. How many of you are ready for God to do something for you? I'm telling you, all we got to do is believe it. All we got to do is believe it. But I want you to know something. It's not any leftovers. It's something fresh. It's something new. And it's not going to look like what anybody else had. Don't worry about what they're doing. Stop trying to compare yourself to what they have. Comparison is the thief of joy. Yeah. Don't worry about it. What God has for you is unique and beautiful and just for you. Where God wants to take you to is where you need to go, not where somebody else went to go to. I'm going to tell you, what time is it?
Yeah.
Whew. Y'all know I'm going to open a book here. Can I just be real with y'all, emotional, real with y'all for a minute? Pastor Mays, greatest man, greatest pastor I've ever had.
Yeah.
I love him. He's like a dad to me, right? I've been with him now. I've been serving in ministry with him side by side for 6 years. Prior to that, we've been in this church for over 10. You know, I'm not Pastor Mays. I'm not Pastor Herb. I wanted to be. I did so desperately because I saw how God would move. And I saw this anointing, and I coveted that anointing that he had. And I saw people getting set free and broke from chains of bondages and just how he loved people and so on and so forth. And I wanted to be Pastor Mays. I wanted to be Pastor Herb. Back in my office, I've got a little baseball card. Brother Sean, y'all thank Officer Sean back here. We're thanking you for your security, brother, and all that you do. I saw you making rounds this morning too, brother, and we praise God for you being here. And not only that you're here, but that you don't judge people when they walk in either. That's a beautiful thing, brother. That's the reason why I love Sean being back here, is because it doesn't matter how you come in. He told me one time, he said, we're all just one bad decision away from being locked up. He was exactly right. But Sean encouraged me. I was at a point where I was broken, really, truly. And I've thought about, there's somebody better for this job. I was ready to quit. I just wanted to be done. I liked my secular job because I knew right away whether or not I was doing good or bad. I had a boss that would report to me and tell me, hey, you did a good job, or hey, I'm writing you up. You didn't do so good today, right? I like that kind of thing where it was all black and white for me, and I just kind of felt like I'm never going to be Pastor Herb. I'm never going to be Pastor Herb. Sean encourages me. I'm telling you, I don't think he knew it at the time, but I kept saying, how'd you like to come up and hit after Babe Ruth? How'd you like to be that guy? Well, I'm asking you right now. How'd you like to be that guy? Babe Ruth comes up to bat, all-time home run hitter. He comes up, and now you come up, no name. You understand? I don't know nobody. We transplant into this community. I wasn't growing up in here. I don't know people from here. I don't even know other pastors in the area. I'm fresh. I'm green. And now here I come up behind Babe Ruth. How'd you like to be that guy? Yeah. I said, oh, man, how'd you like to? Sean looked at me. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget. He looked at me. He said, you don't have to be a Babe Ruth when you're a Hank Aaron. It was about a week or so later, he brings into my office this little baseball card and a little note. I think you just gave me the baseball card and handed it to me as a reminder of Hank Aaron. I've got Hank Aaron's baseball card. I'm sure it's a copy. Don't steal it, anybody out of my office. If I see it on eBay, I'm going to call Sean and we're going to get to the bottom of it. But there's a baseball card, and I keep it up there in my office, and I put a little note with it that said, you don't have to be a Babe Ruth because you're a Hank Aaron. See, you're a Hank Aaron. When I got a hold of that, what happened? I stopped trying to be Pastor Herb. I wanted to be Pastor Mike. I wanted to love like Pastor Mike loves. And it's different than Pastor Herb. I preach differently. But I'm going to tell you, I feel him come out of me sometimes. I'm just going to be honest with you. I do. I feel him come out of me. Like I said, you hang out with spiritual people, you get spiritual. But see, God wanted to do a new thing through me, in me, and for me, and you. And so what God is about to do for us is different than what we've seen in the past. What God is about to do for you is different than what anybody else has ever tried to lay out for you, because it's going to be new. And if it's new, it's beautiful and it's unique and it's designed just for you and me. Man, that's good news. That's so good news, because I don't want somebody else's recycled success. I want the favor of God and all its glory that's made just for me and you. And when we start living that life, you know what happens? We start drawing attention. Because what happens is when something new happens in you, you become a billboard for God. People start seeing it. And in the last verse of this, if you looked, it said, I saw what it said in verse 14, it said, the Philistines envied him. Folks, I want to tell you something. When God starts moving in your life like that and he starts elevating you, there are going to be people around you who are going to envy you. They're going to be jealous of you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to try to smear your name. They're going to try to downplay what it is that God's doing in your life. But I want you to know something. Take that as confirmation that you're on the right track. Because the Philistines are the naysayers. They're the unbelievers. They're the ones who don't want you walking victorious. But you know what? Stand tall. Walk proudly. Know that it's coming for you. Now, here's what I want you to repeat after me. I'm ready. To receive. But that's really all it is, because God's already done it all. Everybody stand with me this morning. I'm so glad you came to church this morning. I love y'all more than you possibly know. And in the morning times, I want to tell you, you're more than welcome to come and join us at church. At 9 o'clock, I open up the sanctuary, and we pray in here for about a half an hour, 45 minutes. Then the musicians come in. If you'd like to come early, I'd love to have you. We have soft music playing, and we're just praying. You know what I'm praying for? For God to move in your life. Now, he's already going to do that. But I raise my petition to him, and he wants to grant the desires of my heart and your heart. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. We're going to do something a little unique, different as we close out today. But I always have to close out this way.